Well, dear friends, let's seek and ask the Lord's blessing on the word this morning. Let's pray. Our great and our gracious God, we commend this message this morning now into thy hands, we pray. And that greatly bless it to our hearts this morning. May it come to us in power, we pray. May it be a living word to us. And may it produce fruit in our lives, we pray. And let help us, O Lord, to be people like thee, that a God, Lord, who's given so generously and gracious toward us. Help us to be those, Lord, who have open hearts towards others and open hands. So do be with us now, we pray, and help us and strengthen us as we look into thy word together. And we ask it, our God, in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, our text for this morning's message is Philippians chapter 4 and verses 15 to 19. As we come towards the end of our series in this epistle on a Lord's Day morning, probably one or two messages left here, I'm not sure yet. But anyway, here is one in this passage, Philippians chapter 4 and verses 15 to 19. Paul continues, now he says, Ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. So, dear friends, last time we were looking at the passage immediately before this one, which was from the beginning of verse 10 to the end of verse 14. And there were three things there that the apostle, I think, was writing to the Philippians about. First of all, about their care of him, or their care for him while he was there in prison in Rome. Of course, their care was that they had sent one of the number, a man called Epaphroditus, to him with a financial gift, in order to provide for the expenses that he would have while he was in Rome. So they had cared for him in that way. The care of the Philippians for the Apostle Paul in verse 10. He speaks to them about that there. And then secondly, he doesn't want them to misunderstand him. You remember, although they had been very kind towards him, it's not been very generous, and he was thankful for the gift. He didn't want them to think that even when he was in Rome and had so very little, that he was in any way spiritually discontented or dissatisfied. No, quite the opposite. He was very happy indeed in the Lord. He felt he had everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was all in all to him. And so he speaks to them, secondly, in verses 11 to 13, about his contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, again, he doesn't want them to misunderstand as though he's being a little bit peevish here and a little bit unthankful, ungrateful for their sacrificial giving, because they weren't a very wealthy, well, Lydia, she was quite a wealthy woman, hadn't she, was still there. But a lot of the Philippians weren't very wealthy, and so they had given sacrificially to him and to God's cause through him. And so therefore he commends them, finally in verse 14. For their kindness towards him. He says, well done, you've done well. You've done a beautiful thing, you've done a noble thing, that you did communicate with my affliction. So, those were the previous verses here, the beginning of Paul's thank you note to the Philippians for sending Epaphroditus to him with this financial gift. But now in the following passage here, he continues his thank you note to them. It's good for us, if ever we're given, good for us to thank God for whatever he gives to us. Whatever anybody else gives to us, it's good to thank them for it. A thank you, a verbal thank you, or a written thank you is always a good thing. But he continues his thank you note to them in these verses here. And now writes especially here about their giving or sending their gifts to him, and he writes them also about their, perhaps in the future, receiving further gifts from his God. So that's what we now have in this next passage. The second part of his thank you note is all about, well, writing them about their giving or sending their gifts to him while he was in Rome, and he assures them. He says to them, he gives them a promise, doesn't he, from God, as he's inspired to do so by the Holy Spirit. He assures them that his God would provide for them in the future. So, a little bit of a difficult subject this morning. We can always be a little bit sensitive about these kind of things, can't we? About giving, especially about financial giving. And giving to the Lord's cause, giving to the church. But that's what this is all about. Giving to the church, giving to God's people, giving to his servants, giving to ministers, providing for them, giving to missionaries, or giving to anybody, not only those who are Christians necessarily, but also those who are unbelievers, if we feel led to do so. But I trust that this is something that we all do, that we are givers. We're dealing here with Christians and churches, not dealing about good works here, but what Christians do as a result of their believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be those who have not only freely received from God, we want to be those who freely give back to him towards his cause. The sense in which he doesn't need that, but he does ask us and require us to do so. So do you give or send gifts to those who you see are in need? Don't kind of shut up, as the apostle describes it, your bowels of compassion towards people, but you're very open-hearted towards them and open-handed towards them. Well, let's trust that we're like this. We're those who give and send our gifts to those who are in need, and also those who look to the Lord to provide for us, for our future needs and our future requirements, that we might be able to carry on in our giving. My dear friends, let's be givers. It is more blessed, as Jesus said, and also as is quoted later, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So what does Paul write to them here about this? Well, first of all, he writes in verses 15 to 17 about their past gifts or giving to him, to him as an apostle and as a servant of God. And then in verse 18, he writes them about the recent gift that they just given to him, sending Epaphroditus to him with their financial gift, their present gift. But then also he looks to the future here. So we have each of the three tenses. Their future gifts or giving, not to him, but he assures them from his God, that there might be a continuity in their giving, God providing for them, in order that they might provide for his work, for his people, for his servants, indeed for any that are laid upon their hearts. So first of all, then, let's look at the first passage here, the first part of it, verses 15 to 17, about the Philippians' former past gifts or giving to him that they had begun about 10 years before this. So, sir, I trust that we are those who have given in the past to his work. And if we haven't, it's something that we ought to be rather ashamed about. We ought to be those who are given according to what God gives to us. And it's also perhaps a good thing for us, my dear friends, to be those who tithe, to give about a tenth to the church that it might be provided for. It's not that the church wants to be greedy, or anybody in the church wants to be greedy, but God's work requires being provided for. And who does that? Well, God ultimately, but he does it through his people. So if you've given in the past to his work, to his church, to his local church where you worship, Because sometimes we hear about people who they're very good at receiving the ministry, and they're very good at kind of attending different things, but they don't give anything at all. And it's shameful. You might not be able to give a lot, but you ought to give according as God has first given to you. And be concerned about these things for the ongoing work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I trust that we are those who have given to God's work in the past according as we are able to. Well, what does Paul write to them about their past gifts to him? A number of things. He describes their past giving. The first way that he describes it is like this. He mentions about the immediacy, or the promptness, or the spontaneity of their giving, right at the very beginning, in verse 15 here. He says that they gave their past gifts to him in the beginning of the gospel, in the beginning of the gospel proclamation, when the gospel amongst them was in its early days, when he had first visited them, when the gospel proclamation was in its infancy or in its youth amongst them, and the church there was just starting, was just being established. Right back then, 10 years before this, that is when they started to give. In other words, it wasn't later on, it wasn't only just very recently, but it's right back at the beginning when the work started, when the first of them were converted, when Lydia was converted, her heart was opened, and her home was opened to the apostle, and also to Silas as well. And no doubt she provided for them. She paid some of his expenses so that he might be relieved of that to preach the gospel. And perhaps the Philippian jailer as well, he was generous towards the apostle Paul to provide for him. Paul could have done this himself, and often he did. He did work, he was a tent maker, but he did sometimes need his expenses being paid so that he might be freed up to preach the gospel. And that is what they did right at the very start. He says later, when he departed from Macedonia, round about that kind of time, when he'd first visited them, and shortly after he went on and left Macedonia, and he went to Achaia, he went to Corinth. So when he left Macedonia, which Philippi was located, and he left there, we read about it in Acts chapter 17 and verse 14. So do you see that about the Philippian giving? It was right at the very start. They didn't need to be prompted to do it. It was spontaneous. And they didn't procrastinate. They didn't leave it for a long time. Or just recently, this is something that they began right at the very beginning. Their giving was immediate. It's right at the start. And my dear friends, it's good for us to take this leaf out of their book. For us to give like this. For us, in other words, to be quick in our giving. Not to procrastinate, not to put it off, not to leave it, not for time to pass, and in the end perhaps never to do so, but to be quick to do it. As soon as we're converted, to begin to do this, as we're able to. Or when we see a need, to do it straight away, to strike, as the saying goes, to strike while the iron is hot, and not to let it go. So do you say, is that how you give, my dear friend? When you see a need, When you see that friend in need, do you answer that need? If you're able to, do you do something about it straight away? The Philippians were like that because God had come to their need immediately, and so they came to the aid of others straight away too. But then also notice he describes their giving, that it was singular, it was rare, especially in those days, 10 years beforehand. The singularity of their gifts, or their giving to him. He says that no church, not even a single church, at that time, right at the beginning, when the gospel was first preached to you, proclaimed to you, gave gifts to me, but only you. You were special amongst all the churches. Nobody else communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. It's a particular way of speaking it. It's a business term, this, that he uses. It means nobody entered into partnership with him in an account of expenditures and receipts. Nobody expended anything upon him, and nobody else, he wasn't receiving anything from anybody else apart from them. They stood out at that time. They were the first. They gave to him in that way, where nobody else was. What a lovely example they are, my dear friends. And a good example, again, to us. For us sometimes, perhaps, to give like that. To give to somebody or to something, to some cause, perhaps some missionary enterprise that is being supported by very few others. It's very easy sometimes to go with the whole of the crowd, isn't it? That's only just right to do that. To kind of give when everybody else is giving to the same thing. We kind of get caught along by that. But sometimes we need to have our eyes open to those who are needy or to those societies that are very needy and nobody's interested. And perhaps give to them. Nobody else might be doing so. But we can. Because the Philippians here are a great example of that to us. Don't always go along with the crowd, my dear friends. Pray. Ask for God's guidance as to how to use what God has given to you. How to be a good steward. And it might be that nobody's given to this particular missionary or missionary family. But you could support them if God guides you to do so. So they gave in that rare way to the Apostle Paul. And sometimes we can give like that to ourselves when nobody else is giving to somebody or to something. But then also he says now in verse 16 that their giving was consistent. There was a continuity in their giving towards him. Because they not only gave to him when he was with them there in Philippi, but even when he left, when he went on to Thessalonica, when really in a sense they could have washed their hands of him and had nothing else to do with him, and because he was away from them, they could have forgotten all about him. Couldn't they? But no, they did not. They didn't just support him when he was with them. When he went away to Thessalonica, indeed, when he went further away from that, out of their area altogether, they kept sending to his necessity. Because their giving was continuous. It kind of streamed to him. And it wasn't just when he was with them. And again, my dear friends, it's a wonderful example to us in the way that we should give to those who are in need. In a way, it's quite easy to give when somebody's with us, but then we forget all about them when we don't see them, don't we? But it's good for us, my dear friends, to kind of be continuous in our giving, not to forget if somebody moves away, you know, but to carry on in our giving in that way, to give in a kind of continuous fashion. That's how the Philippians gave to the Apostle Paul, and he was so thankful. And he was so grateful for this kind of giving that could be described in this way. And notice also their giving was regular. It not only carried on, but it was something that they did in a regular way. He said, once and again you sent to my necessity. Their past gifts were something that came to him once and again. So, again, they were very kind, very thoughtful towards him. They kind of gave in a regular way in this way. I suppose sometimes we can give just a kind of a one-off gift, can't we, my dear friends? But it's good also to be regular in our giving towards people. That they can rely upon us. Rely upon our giving. The church can rely upon you in your giving. Or a missionary society can rely upon you for your giving. They know it's not going to be perhaps one year, one time, and not for a long, long time to come. But it's something that you've thought about. It's money that you've set aside. It's perhaps part of your tithe. And you're going to give in a regular way. And it says, and in that way, it kind of gives peace to those who receive. Peace to that missionary society. Peace to that missionary. Because they know that that giving is going to be reliable. Because it is going to be regular. It's going to be regularly received. Try and make your giving regular. But then notice it was also wise. It wasn't they were kind of throwing their money at the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul didn't have any real need of it. He says, you gave There was the necessity of their gifts, the necessity of their giving to him. It wasn't that he didn't need, he was in need. They gave to his necessity. They gave in order to alleviate the needs that he had. They mustn't have thought that because Paul was an apostle that he didn't need anything. Any practical things. He needed sometimes to buy himself new clothes. He needed sometimes to buy new books or parchments, writing materials, perhaps even to write this very epistle to them. Paul had his needs. And they shouldn't have said, you know, like some people say about those who are in the ministry, oh, you know, if you preach that, let him live by the gospel, and they do nothing about it themselves. It is true, those who preach the gospel do need to live by the gospel. But it's those in the church who appreciate the gospel, who hear the gospel from them. It's their responsibility to provide for preachers, for pastors, for teachers, for evangelists, and so on. And to meet their needs. No true servant of God wants to live in luxury and wants to be wealthy and to be very rich. All that surely a true servant of God wants is just to have his needs met. And if you see a need, my dear friend, if you see a brother or sister in need, a worker in need, a missionary society in need, well, my dear friends, let us seek to answer that need according as God gives us the ability to do so. So do you give your gifts according to necessity? Not lavishing gifts upon people, financial gifts upon them that they don't require. Casting, in a sense, your pearls before swine. They don't need it. Perhaps they don't even want it. But give according to necessity. Give wisely and not foolishly. And then finally, under this heading in verse 17, notice Paul also writes them about the desirability of their gifts, or his desire in them, or his desire for them. Again, he doesn't want them to misunderstand. He's saying, thank you for sending Epaphroditus. Thank you for sending this financial gift. But you know, really, I'm not so much interested in the gift itself, although it's going to help me. It's not so much that I desire a gift. But I desire, what I desire is for you. My desire is for you, the giver. I desire fruit or a dividend which might abound or increase to your account. He's using another business term here. And what he's saying, he realizes this, that their giving is like them making a spiritual investment. An investment entered as a credit on their account, which is increasingly paying them rich dividends. And what dividends would their kindness bring to them? Well, the following, one commentator says. If it was a real need that they were answering, and they did so conscientiously, they'd have a good conscience as a result of their kindness and generosity. It also helped their assurance of salvation, especially if they were being led by God and guided by God to do this, moved by God to do it. It assured them of their salvation, that they were Christians in doing this, giving to other Christians and Christian causes. It enriched their fellowship with other believers. It would broaden outlook onto the needs of others and the interests of the church universal. It would increase joy and love, both of these imparted and received. And it would give them a higher degree of glory in heaven. They'd have a greater reward for it, for what they gave. And they would receive judgment day praise. Paul had just given them his praise, and they, well done, he said, what you've given to me. But they mustn't give like that, they must give towards the day coming when they'd receive that well done from the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So we need to receive gifts. Not only give gifts in the right way, but to also to receive them when we have them, when we receive them with the right desire. Not being greedy, not so much being interested in what's been given to us, coveting it, but having our concern for the givers, that what they're doing in their giving is in a way that they are making an investment, a spiritual investment. They're kind of crediting their account and they'll be benefiting in the ways that I've outlined to you. They'll be benefiting spiritually. Paul had given to them his spirituals, and that he received from them their practical giving. It was a kind of mutual giving, wasn't there? So Paul then, first of all, writes them about their past giving or their past gifts to him. But then secondly, in verse 18, he comes right up to date. He's gone back those 10 years and over the 10 years of their generosity towards him. But he comes up to date now and he speaks to them about their present gift or giving to him. The things or the gifts received from Epaphroditus that were sent or came from them. Say money to cover his expenses, to cover his reading materials, to cover his clothing, these things. And what does he say about this gift? Two things. First of all, that this was something that he was really delighted about. To say there was a sense in which he didn't totally need it himself to be contented. They were supplying his needs, but he was quite content without these things. But nonetheless, because of the benefit that it was going to bring to him, because of the glory that it was going to render to God, he was delighted in what they had done. It was something noble, something beautiful that they had done. And here in verse 18, he says, I have all, I've received payment in full, I've received everything that you gave. In fact, what he was doing here initially, he was giving them their receipt, wasn't he? Very practical kind of thing. He was acknowledging their gift and making sure they realized that he had actually received it. What a very practical thing here. When we receive from God, acknowledge that gift. Give him thanks. Also, when you're given something, don't just ignore the person who's given it to you. Be grateful. Be thankful. Tell them. Give them thanks. Write a note of thanks to them. If somebody's given you a payment of some money, write back and that they might have a receipt. They might realize, if they send it through the post, that you have received it. My dear friends, as Christians, we must not lack common civility in our dealings with others. We must be civil and do things that are right. The world does it. We should do it as well. So he's delighted. He's received the whole of the gift that they've given. It has come to him, because remember in those days, you know, anything could have happened to Epaphroditus on the way to Rome. He could have been accosted, couldn't he? He could have been mugged, but no. God has protected him, protected the gift, and Paul's received it. And he says, I abound. I am enjoying this abundance. This temporary affluence, it means here. Again, this is all commercial phraseology that he's using. He says, I'm full. I'm amply supplied. I am very contented by what you've given to me. He's thankful. He's delighted in what they've done. You think about it, my dear friends. This is a good incentive, isn't it, for us? A good motivation for us when we see a need to answer it because of the effect that it has upon others. It can make such a big difference, especially somebody who is struggling, perhaps, that we know. If we give them something, it can make a world of difference. We can say nice things to them, but sometimes something concrete, something definite, can be so uplifting and can be so encouraging. So if you know somebody who is really struggling at the moment, perhaps you might be open-hearted towards them, and it might really uplift them, bring them a great deal of joy and gladness, as this gift did the apostle. Remember, he was in prison. He must have had his times of great, some gloom and glumness there. But no, he's rejoicing there because of their love, the demonstration of their love to him. And also here he describes this present gift. He says that it was an odour of a sweet smell. It was a fragrant odour. It was pleasant to him. It smelled lovely to him, but also to the Lord. Because he says it was a sacrifice, an offering, acceptable, welcome to him, and also well-pleasing to God. It was like the offerings of Abel. Abel's offering in Genesis 4 and 4 was described like this. Noah's offering in Genesis 8:21 was described like this. The Israelites' offerings sometimes were described like this. Leviticus 1, 9, 13 and 17. Acceptable sacrifices. Well-pleasing to God. Well, my dear friends, let's make sure that our giving, our church giving, our tithing, and our giving to any missionary cause, endeavor, whatever it might be, to make sure that our giving gives off a sweet smell, a sweet fragrance, a sweet perfume. So we do it sacrificially, do it spiritually, do it sincerely, do it from the heart, do it by faith. You know, and do it in a way which is right and acceptable in the sight of God. That our giving might be fragrant. And it might be, sometimes we need to give sacrificially. I remember preaching a long time ago in a church in Wales, and when the offering was taken up, as it was in that church, the secretary used to say, "We'll now receive your offerings, tithes, and sacrifices," because sometimes our giving ought to be sacrificial. Like that widow that gave her mite, it was a tiny amount compared to all the wealth that the others were giving, but she had very little. And she gave all that she had. And that was something that the Lord Jesus Christ looked on and praised. Because she gave from her heart and gave in such a sacrificial way. And do you think she needed as a result of that? I'm sure that the Lord Jesus Christ and God would have made sure that she was provided for in making such a sacrifice. Well, finally, before we close, Paul then points to the future. Not only the past, their past giving to him, their present gift to him. He says, don't be worried, you Philippians. You know, some of them were very poor people, a poor place, a poor church perhaps, some of poor members amongst them. And they've been kind to the Apostle Paul. He doesn't want them to worry or be anxious about anything. We dealt with that already in this chapter, haven't we? About their being careful for nothing. That you don't have to be careful. Giving in this way, you will never lack God's supply. Indeed, he says, your future giver will be my God, who will provide all your needs. As you provided for mine, God will provide yours. My God. He's so kind of boastful in a way, in a spiritual way, in his God, that God had provided him all of his days, will provide for them. And he gives them the promise that my God will supply all your need. As he's provided for mine, he'll provide yours, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's a future provision that's promised and assured to them. He says, my God, this is something he will do for you in the future. It'll be a plentiful provision. He'll provide gloriously, it means here, all their need. According to God's riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He won't provide them out of his riches, but he'll provide in proportion to his infinite resources and riches. It'll be a personal giving, personal promise to them, their needs, God knowing the needs he'll provide for their needs, and it'd be particular. He wouldn't provide all their wishes and everything that they wanted. But no, the things that they genuinely needed, God would richly supply. The hymn says, my every need, he richly will supply. And Paul assures them this by this inspired promise that God would do this for them in the future. And we can be assured of this too, my dear friends. The Lord will be kind to us in the future too. He'll provide all our needs according to his riches in glory. By Christ Jesus. You might have been generous recently. You might not have a great deal in the bank account or in your savings accounts. You might be worrying at them. You might be anxious. Don't you trust in the Lord. He knows the history of your giving. And he knows everything about it. All the details about your life. All that you have. And he is able, how able he is, to provide you for all your need. And all you simply need to do is to put and place your trust in and confidence in him. God's people will never lack his supply when they live in accordance to his word, will and ways. Also, dear friends, we've looked at this passage now this morning, the Philippians' past gifts to Paul, their present gifts, and also God's future giving to them, to allay any anxiety upon their behalf in the future. So Paul, to close, was grateful or thankful that they provided for his needs in the past and the present, and he was certain and sure his God would provide for their needs in the future too. They've been good to him. God would be kind to them too. God would honour those who honoured him. They'd honoured God in giving to Paul, and God would also honour them.